Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. Yes, from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry, Jay Croucher. Matthew, I know this isn't your first Combine or mine, but Jay, he's running around looking for something to bet.
He's
on
a virgin.
Combine debutante.
Yes.
What, early thoughts?
It's great. It's great having just kind of walking the streets. Oh, there's Dan Quinn just walking around. Everyone seems to congregate at the same spot. So, yeah, I've heard a lot of stories the past 24 hours, more than I'd heard for most of the season. So it's a good little hotspot.
It's one of the things that, like, unless you're here and you understand it, like, I describe it as the NFL prom. And I don't know if that's the best way to describe
it. Perfect.
But the idea is that, in essence, the Super Bowl's over. The new NFL year hasn't started yet. We're in Indianapolis, which, again, it's a great city. It's a great host city. I think the Combine should always be in Indianapolis. I know there's talk about moving it at some point in the future. But you're sort of you're in the middle of the country, and there's not a ton of fans around. And so everyone in the NFL, like every coach, general manager, training staff, front office, beat reporters, you know, team executives, like they're all here in one spot. They're all basically in the Indianapolis Convention Center and then the handful of restaurants, bars, hotels around the convention center. And so it is super weird where there have been times where I've just gotten on the elevator and like, oh, what's up, Coach Belichick? Like, it just, you know what I mean? Like, it's you have access that you wouldn't normally have. Like, you share elevators or cabs or, like, you know, you're at the bar and you're like, sorry, Sean McVay, can I grab this drink? Yeah. Like, I mean, it's pretty cool. And, like, I think all of the coaches and the coaches and general managers, the team executives, they're so under siege during the entire season, and it's so intense preparing for the draft, et cetera, and from that point forward, it's the one time a year I think they get to relax.
Yeah.
You know, because they're just like, hey, we don't know. We're like, free agency hasn't opened yet. We're meeting all these players for the first time. We've just started doing our evaluation. So it's, they're more relaxed and they're more like, yeah, hey, man, like, how you, like, so it's just, they're very approachable.
I think the key is as well is, like, it's just a concentrated downtown, which is all the difference with something like this.
Yeah.
Same thing in Vegas for the Super Bowl. Everyone's just in the same spots. Whereas in, like, LA for the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, it's like you're not bumping into, you know, Sean McDermott or whatever. So it is a really good spot to have it.
Yeah, it's why the rumors start here. The free agency and trade talks start here. Of course, you got to sit down with a ton of coaches that we're going to air in plenty of the snippets of that on this show. And like you said, they are a little bit more comfortable and honest here, whether it's free agency discussions, whether it's scheme going forward, player usage in fantasy. There's so much you can get at the NFL Combine.
Yeah, and you get a ton of, like, to your point, rumors, tidbits, stuff that, you know, especially late at night, you've had a few drinks, people are like, oh, yeah, that guy sucks. You know what I mean? Or like, yeah, we ain't bringing that guy back, whatever. And so you sort of get all these rumors and everything like that. And I do a column every year, and I'll do another one. It'll come out, I believe, Monday on rotoworld.com, NBCSports.com for free. I'm a company man. So we'll get to check that out. But yeah, it's the Combine's always a great time of year, and this is like your Super Bowl.
It is. I get to talk to about 40 players, one-on-one interviews here, and it's really, really special because this is the time you get to do that. Everybody's enjoying it. It's comfortable. It's not a guarded kind of event as well. And with that, let's jump right into the RotoWorld player news because we do have so much Combine buzz already to get through, and I think the first one everybody's already starting about here is, what are the Bears going to do with the number one overall pick, guys? I mean, imagine being Ryan Poles, their general manager, who he did suggest the team could trade Justin Fields before free agency. I mean, here's this quote from Ryan Poles. He said, if we go down that road, I want to do right by Justin as well. No one wants to live in gray. I know that's uncomfortable. I wouldn't want to be in that situation either. We'll see what presents itself and what's best for the organization.
Yeah, he's getting traded.
I was going to say, it's the worst-kept secret in the NFL right now. Everybody thinks the Bears are taking Caleb Williams. They're trading Justin Fields before the draft. As you see right here, Matthew, the 2024 landing spots odds provided by DraftKings, the Falcons at minus 200 to be the landing spot for Justin Fields.
Now, and Justin Fields is from that area, right?
Right.
Yeah. So there's a video that literally just before we went on air, there's a video that's going around social media. I cannot verify this, you know, and by saying I cannot verify, it means I haven't bothered to spend 10 minutes trying to verify it. Like, you know, whatever. I'm not a journalist. We all know this. But barely a broadcaster. Exactly right. Like, I'm basically a guy that goes around and gets free drinks in Indy at the Combine. That's pretty much it. Jay bought me a drink last night, which was very nice.
Was there a reason or just out of goodness of his heart?
I guess I don't know.
Didn't you guys have a lot of bets?
I'm actually an underrated man.
Yeah, but you had a lot of,
I don't think I get my credit.
You had a lot of bets on this season. I'm just making sure it wasn't a pay up for any of
No. It was just Jay was actually just genuinely had a moment of niceness.
Yeah, also, and then you can expense it. So that's in the best part.
Also do want to bring attention. Very happy that Matthew wasn't left alone last night, so he doesn't have to complain to Emmett Smith about me and you abandoning him, which is a great result out of the evening.
I'll just say this. We had a team dinner. We'll get to Justin Fields in a second. This is more
Justin
important.
Fields could wait.
Yeah, Justin Fields can wait. We had a team dinner. And I just want America to know this. We had a team dinner. And so these two guys, their flight was delayed. But so, you know, myself and Damian, producer Pete was there. Morgan, who helps out a lot. Matt Casey, the great Matt Casey, was there. Chris Sims, the legend Chris Sims.
Head of the table, Chris
Sims. So, right, head of the table, Chris Sims. So we're all there.
Jeff Adams.
Jeff Adams.
Cannot forget Jeff Adams. Jeff Adams. The brain of the operation.
Jeff Adams is the glue that keeps everything going. You have no idea. He runs all the logistics for the company. Like, oh, without Jeff Adams, we're all screwed.
NBA comparison on point.
So, anyway, so we're all there. You guys are late. But unlike In-N-Out Burger in Vegas, where me and Jeff Adams and Damian were late after the concert, and you guys just bailed as soon as you were done eating, we all stayed. We waited for you guys to show up. We let you guys order entrees. We all got the entrees at the same time. We all left at the same time. I just want to point out that when the situation was reversed, me, producer Pete, Damian, Jeff Adams, we waited for you guys. Yep. A courtesy that was not extended to us in Vegas.
No, that's fair.
And that's fair because it's hard sitting there drinking margaritas and eating lobster for an extra hour or two.
NBC's dime.
Yeah. Yes.
On NBC's dime.
It's a very difficult thing to do.
God bless the cock.
I give you credit for the perseverance to sit through that table. Backup producer Pete.
Peacock. I'm talking about Peacock, of course. It's been a great year for Peacock. Peacock subscriptions are going way up. It was a huge success, the Chiefs-Dolphins playoff game. A lot of subscribers.
A good one.
Yes, tons of new subscribers.
Ton of new subscribers.
And if you stuck around, which most of you have, you get to watch this content.
Peacock has two shows in the top 10 of original shows. That's actually a true statement, one of which I think we're going to promo a little bit later in the show. Back to Justin Fields. The important part is that we waited for you guys.
I'll add one more thing. Last night, just really underscore, there's an interesting dynamic between the three of us where I think that the maturity actually works opposite of age.
Okay.
Where Connor is by far the most mature. I'm second. You're a distant third.
All right. How so?
It just manifests itself. Well, you're the one. You begin the night as the favorite in the market to go home last.
Okay, sure.
That is a fact.
That is a fact. And then I'm a slight favorite ahead of Connor.
Yeah,
right. It is interesting.
Yes. Why
is that a sign of maturity, though? That's what I don't understand. Like, that's literally how I do my job. Here in Combine, like, in all seriousness, like, no, I listen. I like to get after it when I can. But the idea, no, like, you know, like, me and my wife, we like to go out and we'll have fun. But my point is that at the Combine, seriously, like, the way I do that column, and I've done that column for years and years and years. That column was the first column to predict Tom Brady to the Buccaneers. That's like, you can go back and look at that. Like, I was just like, I'm hearing Tom Brady to the Buccaneers at a time where I was like, he's not leaving the Patriots. And then other people like, maybe the Raiders. Like, no one had the Buccaneers, the 7-9 at the time Buccaneers on there. And I'm like, I'm hearing the Buccaneers from a really good source. So that comm's done pretty good about breaking news. And the way I get that news is like at midnight, you know,
alcohol infused.
Yeah. So that's actually part of the job here at the Combine.
That's fair. I was probably more thinking of Hakusan with Steve Aoki.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was just
three and we say goodbye. Yes.
Yeah. Vegas is my town. I love. I'm a good time in Vegas. There's no question about that. All right. back to Justin Fields. Yeah. All right. So there's a video going around. Poor Steven. I don't know how he's going to cut this up. Back to Justin Fields. There's a video going around social media that I have not verified. But supposedly, the video is taken by, it was supposedly posted by Justin Fields' manager. It is Justin Fields very excited, jumping around very excited and everything like that, very happy. And supposedly in the background, you can hear the manager say, "You're going home." So, again, if you buy all of this, it would think that Justin Fields is going to be an Atlanta Falcon.
That's what that would mean.
Right, and again, they're the favorite. They're minus 200 on DraftKings. They're the heavy favorite.
And the second favorite's the Bears, which nobody here thinks the Bears are keeping Justin Fields.
Yeah, that's a bad bet.
I would be stunned if I just don't know why. And Caleb Williams right now, he is minus 1,600 on DraftKings
to go first overall.
Yep. And everything that we've heard is that that's effectively done and that it will be Caleb Williams. And in the past couple of years, those markets have flip-flopped where Stroud was the favorite to go to one for a while. Aiden Hutchinson the previous year was favorite. Evan Neal was favorite for a time. And then just randomly Trayvon Walker went number one, which he probably shouldn't have judged on what he's done. But this one seems pretty clear-cut. And there's no point having Fields on the roster. You can't have Justin Fields as your backup when he's about to get a big contract. They will trade him, but... Are you surprised, Connor, at the, I guess, lack of relative interest for Fields?
A little bit, because when you look at the available options outside of Kirk Cousins on the pro market, there's not a lot of guys that are starting quarterbacks with upside, which Fields has right now. He legitimately has upside. But I think the problem is a lot of these teams are here wondering what can we do in the draft, right? One and two seem pretty easy, maybe even the Patriots at three. But you have the teams like the Raiders, like the Vikings, like the Broncos, like the Falcons that are wondering, how many quarterbacks are we going to like in this draft? Are they going to make it to us? And is the door open for us to go up if we want? And then when you get the answers to no, maybe the Falcons are realizing, hey, there's a guy we like, but we can't go up and get him. We would trade for Justin Fields instead.
I mean, Raheem Morris spoke from the podium yesterday, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something effective like, if we'd had better quarterback play last year, meaning the Falcons, if the Falcons had a better quarterback play, I'm probably not here.
It's quarter of the week.
Which is, by the way, 1,000% true.
100%, yep.
Right? And so if this is happening, meaning if Justin Fields is getting traded to the Falcons, I love the move. I love the move for the Falcons. Like, I like Justin Fields. I think he's obviously a great fantasy quarterback, but I think he is a good NFL quarterback. I don't think he's been particularly helped by the scheme, the coaching, or the players around him in Chicago. I don't think it's all on that. I do think Justin Fields has some growth that he needs to do as a passer and a reader of defenses. But still, like, I think, he's made enough plays in his college career and as a pro. He lit up my Commanders. You know what I mean? I just think about the skill players that are there in Atlanta. You think about Bijan Robinson, you think about Kyle Pitts, you think about Drake London. Like, there's some pieces there.
And a good offensive line.
Very good offensive line. Jonnu Smith was released by the Falcons. So, by the way.
So he'll be a Steeler soon.
I was just going to say, I can't wait for Najee Harris to just sit there and watch Jonnu Smith do jet sweeps for Arthur Smith with the Steelers. Can't wait to see that in the red zone next year, as Jaylen Warren is just sitting on the sideline going, Can I get a touch over here? Right. Yeah, of course not. Free Jaylen Warren. I'm starting that right now. I think that would be a home run move for the Falcons.
Yeah. I think Fields as well. He is, I think, pretty clearly to this point, he's not in the tier of elite quarterback that can really overcome his context. And in Atlanta, he'll have the best context of his career between the offensive line and the weapons. So, I mean, yeah, if they get Fields, I mean, I think they are immediately the favorite to win the NFC South.
If you're the Falcons, I agree.
Saints, Bucks. Like, it's not,
I was
going to
say the
Panthers
Bucks. If they bring Evans and Baker Mayfield back, I think they're right there.
Yeah, they're an 8-9, 9-8 type.
Yeah.
And but, the Saints are 8-9 every single season. It feels like, and it feels like the Falcons. Like, they almost won the division despite getting basically a zero from the quarterback position. If Fields is just if he's a 7 out of 10, then all of a sudden that could be an 11-6 win team. I think Raheem Morris should probably be the favorite to win Coach of the Year just because there is such that easy scope. And if he's going to give great quotes like that, that'll help his case as well.
That's a good point.
I think the Falcons, they will be the favorite.
And if I'm the Falcons, I look at this draft and go, okay, we're going to get maybe the fourth best quarterback in this draft picking at 8. Maybe you get Penix, the McCarthy, Bo Nix conversation.
Right.
So, because you probably can't go up. Or you trade what's probably going to be day 2 capital for Justin Fields, and you get to use the 8th pick on a defense that needs more help.
Sure.
While you have playmakers already, or maybe they go get another playmaker. You never know with the Falcons. I think it's a sound strategy by Atlanta if they did this move.
Yep.
I think it's cost effective. All right. Speaking of cost effective, Broncos general manager George Payton said no teams have reached out about Russell Wilson. There is clearly no market right now, guys, for Russell Wilson, who we all expect to not be a Denver Bronco.
Does that include NBC? Because we Russell Wilson could fit in right on the table right here. We're getting a little crowded.
We're getting a little crowded.
It's a little strange that there's no interest whatsoever in Russell. Russ was fine.
I think it's the money.
It's got to be the money. I think my guess is most teams would be like, he's going to get released, and then we can take a shot at him.
For half the price.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's got to be. Because I agree with you. Like, Russell Wilson is fine.
Yeah. He was, I believe last year that he was 18th in EPA per play, 18th in PFF grade, which makes sense because by the eye test, he was about the 18th best quarterback in football. You see the odds provided by DraftKings. The Steelers are minus 225 to be the landing spot for Russ. The Broncos are distant at 7-1, and then the Raiders, Falcons, and Patriots are the other teams in that mix. I mean, the Steelers, I think they do make sense. It feels like a Steelerish thing. I know there is the talk of, you know, Kenny Pickett versus Mason Rudolph in camp. That feels like a battle that no one wins and America loses. But Russell Wilson, he would be an upgrade over both of those guys.
He would, and the Steelers, going and getting a veteran is the route I think they're going to go rather than look in this draft again. They don't want to add another young quarterback and have to wait through that and deal with all of that. So when it comes down to it, it'll be a Russell Wilson, a Jacoby Brissett, a player like that. And for the Steelers, what we saw last year, that's an upgrade and would be great for them.
I will say it's interesting.
You're very distracted, by the way. We were actually getting worried.
Sorry. No, it's okay.
There's no need to apologize.
Well, that's one of the things. We're live at the Combine, and so people are walking around and everything like that. And, you know, and honestly, what you were saying wasn't all that interesting.
You don't even know what you were saying. That's the best part.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I agree with Jay that America loses if it's made Mason Rudolph.
It's my alien versus predator thing of whoever wins, we lose.
Yeah, 1,000% there. It does feel like a kind of Steelers thing to do because the Steelers have, again, the Steelers almost, you know, the Steelers were very competitive despite the fact that they got almost a zero from the quarterback, right? You know, the quarterback position. And so getting Russell Wilson would be an upgrade for them. And they also, again, they have a pretty good defense. They need to improve the offensive line, but it's getting better. They have a good run game. They have skilled position players, you know, in the passing game. They'll have Jonnu Smith soon. So
that team going 10-7 last year is a miracle of modern science.
Of course.
That team was terrible.
Like, yeah.
They were losing games at home to the Patriots and the Cardinals in the back end of the season while they're in a playoff race, and they somehow still scrape in at 10-7.
The Tomlin special.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's my point. Like, so I mean, you right? If it's a 10-7 team, that division is tough. They got lucky, but with Russell Wilson, that's probably an 11-win team, maybe
potentially. Yeah, I mean, the defense is really good. They've always had weapons on offense. The offensive line is getting better.
Yeah,
and I think Russ is a significant upgrade over what they got. Well, he's an upgrade over what they had last year.
All right, another quarterback out there in the free agent market, Kirk Cousins of the Vikings, of course. And we actually got to hear from Kevin O'Connell on Pro Football Talk yesterday on the idea of bringing Kirk Cousins back and hoping he's back. Take a listen.
Anytime free agency is involved, we can have plans. And Kirk knows, you know, how I personally feel about him. He knows how our organization feels about him. I believe Kirk wants to be a Minnesota Viking. I do believe that. I've had some great dialogue with him pretty much weekly throughout the offseason, leading into kind of as we step foot in Indy for the Combine. But there's a process, Mike, you know that's got to play out. And I think if for us to, you know, be able to get to the place where we can come to an agreement and have Kirk Cousins as our quarterback moving forward, which is what, you know, I would love to see happen, we're going to have to find that space, that common ground. But ultimately, knowing both parties want the same outcome, I do believe, I feel strongly we're going to be able to get something done. I do believe that, Kirk knows how we feel about him. And I think at this point, he's earned the right for what's going to transpire over these next few days and weeks. But my confidence is still strong that we're going to have an opportunity for Kirk to be a Minnesota
Vikings. So 100% unequivocally, you want him back?
I do want him back.
Nice land there by Florio to really drive that home. I mean, seriously.
Well, but what you guys don't realize, I think some people realize, Florio's like a diehard Vikings fan.
Yes.
So there's the underlying thing is basically, because I don't. Like, I feel like what he was saying is like, so unequivocally you want him back? because I don't think the fans do or whatever. Like whatever. I feel like there's definitely some bitterness there in Florio's question there. I think that's the right move for the Vikings.
100. Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
There's no one else better.
There's
Kirk
no one else better.
Like a MVP ballot type of level. Like he was playing like the fifth, sixth best quarterback in the league.
Yes, he was.
Playing the best level of his entire career. Just, and you saw the drop-off afterwards. It was an absolute catastrophe after the Josh Dobbs kind of renaissance ended. I still don't know why they didn't start Josh Dobbs down the end of the season. He would have given them a better chance to win than Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. But, yeah, I think that the Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall experience kind of reminded perhaps the Vikings what they were missing in Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and when you look at it, they don't have a top 10 pick. So you're not drafting a guy and just throwing him into the fire right away. It really is the best way. It's a bridge move, but a very good bridge. It's not a typical bridge
player. By the way, again, play it out. Like right, they don't have the draft capital likely to move to get May or Daniels or Williams.
Exactly.
All right. So now you're like, now you're weighing, okay, Kirk Cousins or Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy, right?
Right. Like that's what you're dealing with.
McCarthy needs to sit. Yes.
So even if you love him, you need a quarterback
right.
for any of those teams thinking
right.
about taking him.
And then you sit there and go, okay, well, who could we get on free agency? Like Kirk Cousins or Justin Fields? You'd rather Kirk Cousins.
Right.
You know, like
familiarity.
He's been in that system, right? You know,
he's just better.
He's better.
At this point in their careers, 100%, he's better. Kirk Cousins versus Russell Wilson. You'd rather Kirk Cousins. Like, I mean, like, you know, you go down the list here and like, who else are you getting? You know, so Kirk Cousins or Sam Howell, okay, that's a fair argument.
Sure.
But future Hall of Famer Sam Howell. But other than that,
I think people forget this now, but with the way that Cousins was playing, with how much Brian Flores' defense overachieved, like you can make a case that the Vikings could have been the second best team in the NFC last season behind the Niners if Cousins was healthy. So I think, yeah, you just bring him back, you run it back, they'll have a good chance. The division is kind of sneakily loaded now where there's not really a weak team.
I agree.
It'll be the Bears with Caleb will be the weakest team in that division, and they still had an amazing defense.
They're coming,
though. Upside.
Yeah, they're coming.
So loaded division, but yeah, you need Kirk Cousins to go to war in that division.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, and the Vikings defense at the beginning of the year, like it struggled. It was taking them a while to figure out Flores' system, but by the second half of the year, like the defense was playing really well.
They shut out the Raiders. You score a point.
Right.
Yeah. Right, right. They shut out the Raiders, who then the next week put up 70
exactly.
or whatever, 64 or whatever it was. Yeah, I mean, that's the right move. I think Kevin O'Connell's got the right thing. And my guess is that that gets done some way, somehow.
It's logical for both sides.
It is. You know, I know O'Connell and Cousins are close. Obviously, they work together in Washington. Long list of coaches that were on the Washington staff.
You guys have quite the alumni.
It's unbelievable. But you know they've spent time together. They're very close. Like you get to throw in a dome to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, like and T.J. Hockenson.
Eventually,
like,
Hockenson.
Yeah, I mean, like it's a pretty good list. There. One other thing I'll just say, as long as we're talking about O'Connell, real quickly, I asked him on the podium about how he. From the podium, I asked him, and I put this out on X, Twitter, his answer. But I asked him about the run game. Like, how did he view the running back room? He started with Ty Chandler. You can go see the whole answer on my Twitter feed, at Matthew Berry TMR. But in essence, he gave some lip service to Madison and some of the other guys. And, you know, you're always looking to improve, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of effusive talk about Ty Chandler. Like, the Vikings running back you're going to want next year is Ty Chandler.
Yep.
And it's the guy... We feel like they should have rolled with a lot this year.
Yeah,
it took long enough.
He talked about the fact that like he's been watching, he's going back, he's watching all the cut-ups and everything like that, and he just feels like Chandler in terms of the explosiveness, the what he brought in the passing game, like just he's like even things that don't even show up statistically, but just you know a key block here or something like that, or fighting for an extra yard, or you know just anyway, he's a Ty Chandler fan.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Speaking of running backs, a big talk of free agency is going to be Saquon Barkley. Giants GM Joe Shane was asked about him and using the franchise tag. Shane said the salary cap changes your philosophy and how you're going to attack things. Obviously, a big talking point here, guys, is the cap went up much more than anyone expected. Shane also said, so that's not off the table. I don't think the Giants are going to franchise tag Saquon in going into this year, Jay.
No.
But it is a reality now that there is more money to play with, and that Saquon Barkley, no matter what you think of the running back position, is one of the most intriguing free agents on the market if he gets there.
Yep. It's funny because Giants fans, and I now am in that community with all my fellow Giants fans, cultivating friendships based on our love of the New York Giants. Like, no one wants him. No one really wants Saquon back.
Right.
Why are you giggling, Matthew?
I think you're funny.
Okay. Well, it just feels like everyone's ready to move on from Saquon. And
what's the buzz among all your new friends?
What's the pulse of the fan base?
Yeah, no, everyone doesn't want Daniel Jones coming back.
That's inevitable.
They don't want kind of indifferent to Saquon. I think the idea is that I think people are still in my community bitter about the fact that they didn't use the franchise tag on Daniel Jones last year and instead gave him the big contract and used it on Saquon. So it's almost like you're blaming Saquon for now what is a really bad contract for Daniel Jones. It's not really Saquon's fault for that, but I do get that you don't necessarily... Like the Giants, my Giants, they're rebuilding at the moment effectively, and so to splash on a running back, it doesn't make a ton of sense, even if he is effectively the face of the franchise. Yeah.
They didn't want to pay him last year when they thought they had a team.
Yeah.
Right. A year ago this time, they're coming off of a road playoff win against the Vikings. They think they've signed Daniel Jones to this big contract. They think they're, in the mix for the NFC East title. And obviously everything went south for them last year. Sorry, for you guys last year.
It was tough.
Tough.
To be fair, I only became a fan after the season, so I didn't feel the pain. I feel it retrospectively somewhat.
And we'll see if you make it to this season.
We'll see. Someone else may catch your eye and you may jump fan bases. But my point is last year at this time, in an offseason when it would have made sense to pay Saquon, they didn't want to.
Yep.
And they eventually came to a 11th hour deal where they gave him a little bit more than the franchise tag and whatever, like kind of a saving face deal. But they're in a rebuilding mode. And I think if they could get out of Daniel Jones' contract, I think they would seriously consider it. But they can't. So I think barring a market where no one gives Saquon any kind of real deal and he has to sort of come back on a team-friendly deal or whatever, Saquon Barkley, my guess, plays for another team next year.
Yep. Any chance, Connor, my G-men draft a quarterback?
Chance, yes. Yeah. They are doing all the legwork and beyond on them. I think two things. I think, one, they don't think they can get up from six into, you'd assume, three. Washington's not answering the phone for the Giants. The Bears are not trading the first overall pick again. I don't think they'd like anyone enough at six to just take the fourth guy.
Yep.
And the other thing is they desperately need a game-changing pass catcher. Darren Waller is a year older. Injured, yes, they like Jalen Hyatt, but they need a Malik Nabers, Brock Bowers, game-changing pass catcher in this offense. A great one is going to be there at six.
Yep.
So I'm thinking pass catcher for the Giants. One more note or two more notes on Saquon with the franchise tag. A second straight tag would be $12.1 million. And the other note is that's a hard number. Usually with cap numbers, you can alleviate some space or you can find what the franchise tag is a hard number you are stuck with. So the Giants want $12.1 on the books this year that they can't fluctuate at all for a running back that has been hurt a lot. I don't think it's going to be a tag situation for Saquon.
And is candidly a luxury for a team that's rebuilding.
Right.
Yep.
This is get ready to draft Gary Brightwell.
Okay, there we go.
I'm kidding. But it's going to be something like that. It's, you know what I mean? I don't know. I feel like the starting running back for the Giants probably isn't on their roster right now.
Feels like there aren't many teams in a more grim spot than the Giants heading into this season, which is a great time for me to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, interesting choice.
Doesn't make
sense. I want to get on a low point. What am I going to be, a Chiefs fan?
Yeah.
Go for the third? No. Go buying in low on the Giants.
Plenty of room over here at the Commanders.
No, I don't want to do that. No.
Come on over. Water's warm.
I couldn't do that. No, I need to be against you, not with you. That's part of the shtick.
Yeah, that is fair, although you'd be better off joining the Cowboys or the Eagles or a team that I'm worried about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Pivoting to a more successful team, the Kansas City Chiefs. Matthew, you got to talk to Andy Reid
earlier
in the week on a lot of things about Kelce's snap count. So take a listen to Matthew's conversation with Coach Reid.
I'm here with back-to-back Super Bowl champion winning head coach Andy Reid. Coach, over the second half of the season, Isaiah Pacheco was used a lot more in the passing game. Was that a result because McKinnon was hurt, or just a piece of his game that you thought gave you more versatility?
Yeah, well, maybe a little bit of each. Yeah. But we're lucky in that room to have some good guys, and they can catch the ball, can play, can run the ball well. So I'd probably tell you yes, but we like throwing to him anyways.
Right, yeah, yeah, sure. The ball in his hand is usually
is a good thing, yeah.
Last year was sort of the lowest snaps played for Kelce's career. Towards the end of the regular season, seemed like you guys were sort of saying, was that by design to try to, like, save him for the playoffs? Was that a design? And I know he's already said he's coming back, so curious as to his plans for your plans with him next year.
Sam. Yeah, well, you can see that he's hard to keep out of a game. So that was like a major coaching accomplishment for me, although in the Super Bowl he got mad. But that the fact that he loves to play and that we have to do that, I think, is important. And the older you get, hey, you've got to do that. We want him to last a while.
Yeah.
And so it's important that we handle that the right way. Even though he might not like it, I think it's for the better for him.
Appreciate it. One last quick one. Talk to me about the development of Rashee Rice over the course of the year, and can he be we've been looking for the heir apparent to Tyreek Hill, obviously a different player, but the number one wide receiver for Patrick.
Yeah, first of all, Tyreek was phenomenal, outside or inside. Rashee was the guy that Kelce needed. So you need that guy that can work inside the numbers there. That's quarterback-friendly area. And where they just can't double Kels. So the growth of Rashee was a big part of our turnaround offensively.
And helping Kelce free up.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. And they you want to make sure they can kind of do similar things. But Kelsey's so good playing in space. Rashee was good at that at the college level. But it's tough in the National Football League. Those windows are so small. And then you got to kind of know when he looks back, this linebacker looks back, or safety nickel looks back at the quarterback, where is he going to go? How is he going to feel me? Where is he? How can I show my color to the quarterback? And that's where he developed the most, and it complemented Kels.
So you feel like a full-time role for Rashee, like every snap next year?
Well, he played
almost every.
Yeah,
he did towards the end. He did.
Yeah, he played outside too. He had some big plays actually outside for us. So he can do both. But we really that. His biggest development took place inside there in that dirty zone where you got to work all that. And then he watched Kels. And so catching the ball, keeping your hands available, catching the ball and getting upfield, he did a great job with. And that's something that he learned from Kels in that area. And it was great. I mean, that'll help him the rest of his career.
Andy Reid, you're going for a three-peat. Best of luck, my friend.
Thanks
so much for the time.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, Coach.
You really dress up for Coach Reid. It's interesting, like seeing you on this desk and then seeing you broadcasting with a head coach.
He's a two-time Super Bowl champion, and you guys are
guys that
barely made the playoffs.
barely
made the playoffs in our fantasy league. I'm actually annoyed because I didn't know if we were going to get Coach Reid because he's so in demand, obviously, and everyone wants him. But like, luckily, he was able to make some time for us. But I'm so mad at myself because what I should have done, I said, Coach, you just won the Super Bowl. I actually won the Fantasy Football Happy Hour Fantasy League, so champion to champion. I wish I had done that.
He would have loved it.
Yeah. can't do do-overs. I will say, like, to be fair, like, a lot of coaches don't give a lot of color in their answers.
Yeah,
they just kind of obviously coach speak is more bland.
Reid
does give a ton of detail in his answers, and I always look forward to it seems like they win the Super Bowl every year now, so we sit down with Peter King after they win the Super Bowl and going into the plays and all of that. The detail he's giving you about how Rashee Rice freed up Travis Kelce, it was really excellent. And I still can't believe the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. They were so bad in the second
That's
half
amazing.
Of the season. It's unbelievable.
Right, who can believe the Chiefs won the Super Bowl?
Well, yes.
Me and Connor.
Yes. Right.
Because
we picked
them
to win the game. We put our money on it, and unlike you, we actually won money on the Super Bowl. So that worked out well for Connor and myself. We never doubted Coach Reid. But I agree with you. Like, he was great. Like, he was I thought that answer on Rashee Rice especially, and also just the, you know, the fact of the matter is that the Pacheco passing game usage was somewhat because he can do it, but also necessitated by the lack of having Jerick McKinnon available to him. So that was interesting. And, yes, we should lower expectations for the snap count of Travis Kelce in the regular season next year.
Staying in the division, ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Chargers are expected to let Austin Ekeler test free agency. Matthew, I don't think after our conversation with Ekeler at Super Bowl, this is not a surprise to me.
No.
He was very open to potentially having, you know, a new destination while not totally closing the door. You chatted with Chargers new GM, Joe Hortiz, yesterday,
yep,
and got to ask him directly about that. So take a listen on Ekeler from Hortiz.
I'm here with new Chargers general manager Joe Hortiz. And Joe, a lot of fascinating offseason for the Chargers, obviously starting with your hiring. But is it fair to say with the hiring of Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman, the running back position and the running game of the Chargers is going to be very important this year?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair to say. You know, but honestly, I think it's pretty important with a lot of teams. It really is. You know, I think it's a mindset and mentality in a philosophical way. But, you know, you control the game by running the ball, and it opens up your passing game. I mean, teams have to commit to stopping the run, adds bodies into the box, and all of a sudden your quarterback's gashing them for big chunks. And so you can build so much off of it. But, yeah, there's a mentality that the running game establishes, and that's what we're all about.
The Chargers have one of the best in the NFL in Austin Ekeler. He's a free agent. Curious, I know there's not much you can say, but I was just curious kind of how you assessed Ekeler, and have you had a chance to talk with Austin and with Coach Harbaugh about how he may or may not fit into your plans next year?
Yeah, those are conversations that really are still ongoing. You know, coaches are evaluating players on our team. We just finished hiring our coaching staff this past week. So we're still going through meetings, discussions, and we'll continue that through the combine, meet with his representation. But certainly Austin's just a great story, you know, coming out of nowhere from Western Colorado and putting together a phenomenal career thus far. And he's a free agent, and there's going to be interest in him. So one of those things where you got to see, let the process play out. Certainly, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him as a person and really him as a player, what he's done.
It's good to see the pipeline of bald NFL GMs coming out of Baltimore. Joe Douglas,
yeah.
Joe Ortiz.
Listen.
Powerhouse, that tree.
Listen, you're not going to have me say anything bad about bald men.
No.
For the love of
They're
God.
Great.
I love to, they are. They're yeah. awesome. You know, more power to the bald and balding. I like to feel like I'm ing. I've got an
you have
ing
hair.
There. I have some hair.
I've witnessed you get a haircut at yes. NBC.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yes.
I love
Full
NBC.
On it. You really do. You come
really
in there
do.
And they just bring
yeah,
you back to life.
They really
they
do.
Piece you back together.
Yeah, they're the best.
Like
yeah.
Burger Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And the mountain in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Yeah. God bless the peacock. So, anyway, what I was going to say about that is, but if you sort of read between the lines and just our conversations with Austin Ekeler as well, so definitive Joe Hortiz interview, the definitive Austin Ekeler interview that we did, feels like, yeah, like, you know, he just said there's going to be a lot of interest in him. He didn't say, like, from us as well. Like,
right.
And I also, Connor, I'm curious to you. As
great
somebody,
story.
Right. I mean, no, great story. Like, said all the right things. And I don't think it's out of the question of him coming back to the Chargers if after free agency goes through and, like, you know, that. But I think that it's unlikely the deal he's going to want, that Austin Ekeler's going to want, is going to be with the Chargers. I also, this is a question for you, Connor, in terms of as you've watched Harbaugh offenses and Greg Roman offenses, doesn't feel like Ekeler is the kind of running back they build around.
No, it does not. And I think Austin understands that himself, if I remember correctly, talking from the Super Bowl, just what that scheme is going to ask you to do, how downhill it's going to be, how run-heavy it is. The best aspect of Austin Ekeler's game is his ability as a pass catcher. So while we could sit here and say, hey, the Chargers probably are going to look elsewhere, I think Austin Ekeler would like to look elsewhere. And this is his one shot to cash in. And it's funny
yeah.
to me, the two names we're going to talk about next that are officially not getting franchise tag, Josh Jacobs and Derrick Henry, they are better fits for what Jim Harbaugh's Chargers are going to be than Austin Ekeler staying.
Yeah, so. I would agree with that.
Yep. It is, I mean, and not sneakily, this is the most loaded running back free agency class I can remember between Tony Pollard and Saquon and Derrick Henry and Jacobs and Austin Ekeler.
Right.
And it feels, it's kind of depressing in a way that it just doesn't feel like it's a big deal in a way because it feels like running backs are more interchangeable now. Obviously, they have their own strengths. I think that a lot of these guys are going to get better than what they showed the previous year. Like, we forget, like, we're a year removed from Josh Jacobs winning the rushing title. Derrick Henry is still a monster. He just has no offensive line. Eckler was banged up all last season. Tony Pollard, people forget as well, he broke his leg and was coming back from that. So I think these guys...
And Saquon is Saquon.
And Saquon is... Yeah, and Saquon was fine this year. It's just the team was a mess. So I think these guys will lift. It certainly seems...
But the problem is, the challenge is, right, is that if you're on the other side, if you're Joe Ortiz or whoever, and you sit there and say, listen, Josh Jacobs, I get it. You won the rushing title. You know, you're awesome. But by the way, you went down at the end of the year. The Raiders were terrible. Aiden O'Connell's behind center. Like, it's, you know, and yet Zamir White put up similar numbers. Like, fourth round. I think Zamir White was like a fourth round pick, right?
Pick, yes.
So, like, my point is like, that's their argument. Is like, if I'm the Raiders and I was able to get the same production out of Zamir White as I did Josh Jacobs, why am I going to pay a Josh Jacobs when I'm better off just going to the draft and picking a guy in the third or fourth round?
Right.
Or waiting for the bigger names to get, you know, picked off, and then you know, listen, Tajay Spears was just in. Derrick Henry is awesome and one of the best running backs since he's been in the league, but Tajay Spears, again, behind a bad Titans offensive line, was in many ways more dynamic than Derrick Henry last year.
Yep. The worst thing possible for all of these guys, honestly, is Kyron Williams and the fact that that guy can come out of nowhere and now might be RB2 going into next season behind McCaffrey. I think that is in play. And also, like, with these guys and with some of the ages that they're getting to, like, do we know definitively that Josh Jacobs next year is going to be a better running back than Ty Chandler? Like, I don't know.
No, exactly. And you think about, I think like, people were surprised when the Vikings didn't want to pay Dalvin Cook, and then he goes to the Jets.
And it was over.
It was over.
It was clearly over. They knew when to move on.
Yeah.
These teams know when to move on.
And the Ravens signed him for the stretch run, and like, they barely used him. Like, you know, and the Ravens could have used him. And so you just sort of, by the way, it also just goes to show, like, what a crazy career Latavius Murray has had. Yeah. Who's still got, like, you know.
He'll
like,
be 35.
I mean,
still
like, just he was scoring touchdowns for the Bills
the tackles,
last year.
Right.
Like,
but you almost wonder if it's benefited him that he's never been that guy, that he's always been the number two or three, that his body, and he's met, Latavius Murray's like 230 pounds, that he's held up every year. Where these guys get run into the ground and it's over.
Are you shocked about, like, I didn't mean to get into a whole running back discussion, but, like, I just think about this, like that Leonard Fournette, like, barely got a sniff last year. A year after having a great year for the Buccaneers, and then
that's
nothing.
It.
And then nothing. And, like, he was on the Bills practice squad. He played, like, a game or two. But, like, you know, basically like a
Ty Johnson got play over him.
Yes.
For the Bills. The Bills were like, no, we have our guys. Fournette, we're going to let him go.
To me, the most interesting guy, and this is a little maybe weird to say, but to me, the most interesting guy of all these players is Derrick Henry, because Henry had no offensive line whatsoever on the Titans last year. Like, it was a mess. Right. They might have had the worst offensive line in football. He still showed flashes, and by the advanced stuff, like his PFF grade, like, Derrick Henry was still awesome. And for as much as, yeah, running backs, you know, what Aaron Schatz and Football Outsiders had, like, the rule of 370. If you get, like, 370 carries, you go over that, you just don't come back. Derrick Henry has broken all those rules his career. He came back from a broken foot, and then the next year was just dominant again. So but Derrick Henry might just break all the rules of science.
In the same season. Like, didn't he, like,
he came back for the playoffs. Yeah.
And the other thing is that, yeah, I mean, like, you think about, especially if Derrick Henry is able to get to a situation where he doesn't have to carry the ball 20, like, think about Derrick Henry on Baltimore.
Yeah, and the Gus Edwards
or Dallas, right?
Derrick
exactly.
Henry.
Yeah. But it's Derrick Henry, right? I mean, like, suddenly, you know, he becomes very efficient. But yeah, it is. I feel bad for these running backs. We like them and everything, and their running back is important and they should be paid. But it's also like, I get it from the, you know, right? Kyron Williams, Ty Chandler, Zamir White. You know, these guys that Isaiah Pacheco just won the Super Bowl. He was a 7th round pick,
right? And this year, we might not have a running back go in the first two rounds, but then 12 are going to go in the 3rd and 4th rounds.
Right.
So deciphering it this year is going to be absolutely fascinating. More veteran free agent news. Mike Evans, per ESPN's Jenna Lane, she reports the Buccaneers are moving towards re-signing Mike Evans. We know they've been talking for a long time. It feels like they were far apart for a long time. But it's hard to imagine Mike Evans not being a Tampa Bay Buccaneer for life.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I saw Jason Lick, the Light, right? How do I pronounce it?
Jason Light.
Jason Light, the general manager of the Buccaneers, he was on Pro Football Talk, and he was talking a little bit about that. We'd like Mike Evans back. Dave Canales, I was at his press conference, same saying, you know, they'd like, you know, listen, there's all the coach speak.
there's a process. You know, he's going to test the market. We have to, you know, make sense. But yes, given how much he's meant to that franchise, that city, that team, and the fact that now there's a big salary cap, and also, by the way, T. Higgins is off the board. So in terms of, like, how are you going to – like, the Buccaneers are not in rebuilding mode. The Buccaneers won a playoff game this past year. I mean, right. The Buccaneers, you know, were within a touchdown of going to the NFC Championship. So I think, you know, they want to bring Baker Mayfield back, and they want to bring Mike Evans back. And especially when you think about the increased salary cap, like, I think a deal gets done there.
Yeah, it just feels like it makes sense for both sides.
I think as good as Baker was this year, also, he's not the guy where you want to remove that type of safety blanket for him. Because if he doesn't Mike Evans, it's not going to look nearly the same.
The Bengals have informed T. Higgins they're going to franchise tag him. And per Charlie Goldsmith of the Inquirer, reports are that the Bengals have no plans to trade him, Matthew. So that would have been a massive free agent at the position. I mean, you're talking $20 million per year or more for T. Higgins, but at least for one more year, he's going to stay in Cincinnati, split the targets with Ja'Marr Chase from a great quarterback in Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think this makes a ton of sense. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Joe Mixon there. Down year for T. Higgins there, as you see it there on your screen, just, you know, under 700 yards, 5 touchdowns. He was hurt, under 45 receptions for the year. Not a typical T. Higgins year, but they know what they have in him talent-wise, and so look, they're in a window right now. They have a window, and so I think it makes sense to, by franchise tagging him, you sort of kick the can down the road because they know they're going to have to extend Ja'Marr Chase.
That one's getting done.
They have big contracts coming up. So a one-year deal, which, great, but it's just 1 year for Higgins, and you take another shot at it. Let's see what happens with a fully healthy Joe Burrow, Chase, and Higgins. Be interesting to see if Tyler Boyd is back. I don't think so.
Yeah, you got to make a decision somewhere.
Your man Yosevis, right?
Yosevis will be the stretch guy eventually. So, and then, you know, Trent Irwin will hang around somewhere.
Yeah, of course.
But in all seriousness, guys, in this salary cap era, and the cap exploded, but you pay Joe Burrow as a top five quarterback.
Yeah.
You're going to pay Ja'Marr Chase as the highest paid wide receiver in the league very soon. And then T. Higgins, understandably, does not want to be paid as a number two. He wants to be paid as a number one. So you're right, Matthew.
Because on most teams, he is a number one.
100%. So it's a great way to build a team. Cincinnati's offense is awesome to watch. But they have to delay the inevitable. I don't know if they ever can get an extension done with Higgins, knowing Chase is knocking on that door soon, too.
Yeah, but the other thing is like, Connor, you've talked about this a lot. Like, do you kick the can down the road for a year.
Yeah, buy your window.
And by the way, this is a very deep wide receiver class, right? The draft. So do you think the Cincinnati Bengals are in the market for, you know, did they take a wide receiver in the first 2 days, you think?
I think so. I think first 2 days makes a ton of sense because Jonah Williams is going to probably leave him for agency, their right tackle. So maybe you look to get your right tackle in the first round. But this draft is great on day two at wide receiver. So where did they draft T. Higgins? Day two.
Yeah.
He wasn't a first-round pick. So, yeah, I think they have a system in place that they feel like you can't replace Ja'Marr Chase. You can't replace Joe Burrow. It'll be really hard to replace T. Higgins, but theoretically, you could do it in the draft.
Yeah, I think for the concerns about T. and his performance this season, I think this Bengals season, you're just going to throw it in the bin. Like, you throw it in the bin and move on because Burrow was himself for, like, 3 weeks of the whole season. And outside of that, and also, like, I wouldn't be that worried about Joe Burrow's health. Like, he did a calf, and then he had the wrist thumb thing, and so that's not indicative of future injuries, I don't think. So I think they'll be fine, and they'll be back to the dominant offensive force you'd expect.
All right, Sports Illustrated's John Shipley does a great job covering the Jacksonville Jaguars. He believes the team wants Calvin Ridley back for 2024. Matthew, you got to chat with Doug Peterson yesterday.
I did.
Talking Ridley, talking Jacksonville's playmakers. Let's take a listen to that conversation.
All right, I'm here with Doug Peterson, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Coach, you know, it's interesting, when you were a head coach in Philadelphia and then early in career in Jacksonville, you're a guy that's always liked to use multiple running backs. But last year, Travis Etienne, 325 touches, third most in the NFL. Is that something we can continue to expect? Was that a result of just he was getting it done or the only guy you had? Talk to me about next year.
I think it's a little bit of everything. He was getting it done. You know, D'Ernest Johnson got hurt a little bit in there, and then Tank was a rookie and learning and coming on, who we really like, Tank, and he'll have a bigger impact this year for us. It's not the recipe necessarily to put Travis in that situation, so I would consider knocking a few of those reps down to keep him healthy throughout the course of the year.
Question for you in terms of
your passing offense here. Trevor had some ups, some downs. How do you evaluate Trevor's season last year?
I think he had a good season, not a great season. You know, obviously the number one concern for us is the turnovers, right? We got to make sure that we correct that and make sure that he takes care of the football. And we were a pretty decent, you know, top 10 passing offense in the National Football League. So, you know, that's something to say for Trevor and you know, the skill guys around him with Evan and Christian and Zay. And we didn't have Christian and Zay late in the season, right? Calvin was the only guy. So we got to continue to improve there. One area, obviously, we got to get better is the run game. The run game will help us, you know, in the passing game because everything goes hand in hand. And that's something that will be sort of a kind of the impact for this offseason as we put our pieces together.
You mentioned Zay and Christian specifically in terms of you didn't have them. Zay was in and out of the lineup quite a bit last year, and it felt like, you know, when Zay was out, you'd move Christian outside some, and sometimes you'd obviously try to use him in the slot. Where's your In an ideal world, where's Christian Kirk playing for you? I know he can play all three spots.
Yeah, but he can play all three, but ideally he's in the slot. Yeah. I think that's his best position. I think that's the matchup that we like in there. I think Zay and Calvin on the outside, you know, present the matchups there as well. But, you know, Christian can go outside, but it's not his strength. Again, when Zay was out, we moved him out there, you know, and then Parker Washington, Jamal Agnew,
yep.
You know, had impacts in our season. So, you know, the goal is to keep everybody healthy and keep them in the right spots and then continue to improve the bottom part of your roster.
I know you have to deal with all the contracts and everything. Is the hope that Calvin's back next year?
We would like to, you know, we're early in the process right now and we'd love to get him back, you know, and he was such a dynamic guy for us. And so we're working, you know, to try to make that possible.
Last question for me here, Coach. Evan Engram, who had an up and down career in New York, seems to have exploded in Jacksonville. Just talk to me a little bit about Evan and the importance he has in your offense.
Well, when I was in Philly, I went against Evan, you know, quite a bit in New York and really loved his skill set and somebody that kind of reminds me a lot of like Zach Ertz when I had Zach and, of course, Dallas Goedert and now in Philadelphia. And he just brings another matchup issue for us, you know, from an offensive perspective. And he has a great comfort level with our quarterback and Trevor and can put him anywhere on the field. You can put him outside. You can put him inside, in line as a tight end. He's physical enough to hold up at the point of attack and blocking. And just, again, another one of the weapons that we try to – I know we do. We game plan for him every single week and let him do his thing. So we're excited to have a guy like Evan on our roster.
Well, it's been a lot of fun watching the Jaguars since you got to town. Continued success to you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Very honest, Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
I really like the Trevor Lawrence answer because we're all seeing it. Trevor Lawrence has not been a bust. He's been fine. But we expect him to be great.
We do expect him to be great.
Clearly, his coach expects him to take that leap as well.
I thought that was, I mean, by the way, I'm completely honest, and I agree with the assessment. Yep. Trevor Lawrence had a good year, but not a great year.
Not a great year.
Not a great year. And for a guy that was the number one overall pick and, like, the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, you expect great.
Yep. This is a massive year for the Jags because you go into last season. I think they opened the season like minus 160 to win the division.
Right.
And then you know, they blow it on the last day of the season. They were in position with like 5 weeks left in the season. They had the one seed in their control and they missed the playoffs entirely. And now Lawrence, I mean, this is a huge year for him. I think with Lawrence, it's a bit difficult because he was so banged up last year between the shoulder and the concussions.
And their offensive line was beat up too.
Yes. Everything was just a mess with the team. I don't know what their defense was doing against the Titans in that last game where all of a sudden the Titans could block for the first time all season. But this is a big year for Doug Peterson as well because that was a really disappointing season. But I still trust in the talent that made them such a big favorite last year, and Lawrence just surely will be better.
The other interesting answer there I thought was, you know, asked him when the first question when I asked him about ETN, you know, and he just basically said, you know, I prefer not to do that. But as he's going through, D'Ernest Johnson got hurt, and then he, in the nicest way possible, said Tank Bigsby was just bad last year. Yeah. Hey, he's a rookie. He's learning. You know, We couldn't use him, in essence, basically. Now, he did say he'll have a bigger role this year so that they still like Tank. I don't know how much that was coach speak versus Tank Bigsby will have a bigger role. But I know early on we were like, hey, Tank Bigsby sleeper. And then we're like, yeah, never mind.
They're not even going to play him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He couldn't get on the field. And ETN was great.
Yeah.
ETN was great last year. So I agree with you. I think it's a fascinating thing. And that division all of a sudden has gotten really interesting because obviously Houston has come on in a huge way and CJ Stroud. You think the Colts who were right in it, you know, with Gardner Minshew, assuming
that's
a full year of health with Anthony Richardson,
I think Shane Steichen's done a great job. You love the stick man.
I love the stick man. Stick man might be my favorite coach. It's such a shame that his job won't get the credit that it deserved this past season because Tyler Goodson dropped a 4th-and-1 pass.
Right.
Like, yeah. Tyler Goodson catches that pass, they literally win the division.
It's the right
call.
They
win the division and have a home playoff game. And who knows? They may well have beaten Joe Flacco. They could have won a playoff game. So just that one moment just colors everything. But Steichen was incredible. I think he actually might have done the best coaching job of anyone last season, even though they didn't make the playoffs. Gardner Minshew and that team had no right to be in one play from winning the division.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but all of a sudden that, right? Colts, Jags, Texans, and we figure the Titans will get better, like, you know, full year of Will Levis.
Yeah,
and,
top 10
you know,
pick again. I mean, they're going to get better.
Yeah. So it's suddenly, it's a much more interesting division than it was a year ago.
Yep.
And a much more competitive one.
Yep. And the Texans will be the favorite to win that division just because CJ Stroud is that good.
One last interview from yesterday, Matthew. We had to get this one in because it is presented without bias. It is, there's no favoritism.
None.
Just a squeaky clean, honest interview with
super
Washington
objective.
Commanders' new head coach, Dan Quinn. Check it out.
This is very objective.
All right, so I'm just going to own this right now. This is not an objective interview. Hail the Commanders, hail victory. You guys all know, massive fan my entire life. Here with new head coach of the Commanders, Dan Quinn. I'm excited, Dan, and I'd like to just formally apologize to you for all the times I yelled at you when your Cowboys defense was kicking our ass over the last couple of years. And so I'm happy to have you on our side. Yes, there you go. I'm happy to have you on our side now. I want to talk a little bit about your time in Atlanta, when you were in Atlanta.
Yep.
Kyle Shanahan, Dirk Cutter, you had some great offensive coordinators for you. Talk to me about what's important in an offense coordinator and why Cliff.
Yeah, I absolutely had a blast there, and I learned a lot. Sometimes as a defensive coach, you're just in those meeting rooms all the time, and so when you first become a head coach, you kind of expand your lens, and now you're into – you know, more special teams meetings and some offensive ones, and you hear other coaches teach and the ways that you go through that. You'd be surprised. Like, your own, you know, the meetings are going out at the same time, so as a defensive coach, you're not into the offensive meetings. And so it was really enlightening to see a guy like Kyle had real command in both the run game and the passing game, finding ways to make explosive plays, being physical. Like, those were the things that I learned from them about what it takes to do that. And I'd say all the way back to when I first came into the NFL, Bill Walsh was just then retiring as the GM. He had done some consulting, but extension and connection were like two words that he said a lot, meaning like we are extension of one another. It's the pass blocking to throw to Jerry Rice. It was that part of working together. And I think the best of the best offenses have runs and play passes that look alike. They're explosive. Obviously, the quarterback plays the driving force of it, but what I hope you'd see when you watch us play is, man, these guys are explosive and they are physical. And so those are things that I want to be part of our offense at the highest level.
I'm curious, in terms of you obviously, as the defense coordinator of the Cowboys for the last couple of years, you've had to scout Washington last couple of years. So I'm just curious, when you scouted Washington both as a defensive coordinator for the Cowboys and then in taking this opportunity, what did you see on the roster in terms of where are there holes and where do you think there's some strengths?
Well, I thought, one, the strengths, I thought that's a receiving core that can generate explosive plays. And so I saw a running back, you know, that was physical and dynamic to do things to go, and Brian and Antonio. So, like, Brian's toughness is and size is what we look for in that position.
Yep.
And so, like, it helps close the identity on a team when you can really run and go finish games. Brian Robinson is that type of back where he can go and say, I'm going to go finish this game. It's 4 minutes and you're not getting it back.
Yeah.
And so that's the type of player and attitude that I want to be about.
Russell Wilson in Seattle, Matt Ryan in Atlanta, Dak Prescott in Dallas. You've had the fortune to be a coach with some great quarterbacks over the last however many years that has. Talk to me about, they're obviously three different quarterbacks, but the traits that they have that you're looking for, whether it's internally or externally, for the next quarterback of the Washington Commanders, for you,
one,
I should say.
Yeah, I would say at that position, you better be tough, because mentally and physically tough. There has to be times you know you're going to get hit, but you still have to deliver the ball to the right spot at the right time in the right location. You have to be able to, you know, have some accuracy on the deep balls. When the moment comes, there's an all-out blitz that you can go deliver on that. I think you have to be able to get out of bad plays. You're into your regular drop back. The right tackle got beat. How do you avoid that and still not take a sack and make a play and be able to speed up when things, okay, a blitz happen, I got to get rid of the ball and not, you know, allow those bad plays to happen. So there's a lot of things that go into it. It's not just accuracy. It's not just arm strength. It's the ability to get out of bad plays. I'm not talking about checks at the line of scrimmage. I'm talking about something that was unforeseen. And how do you not allow those things to happen? And so all those things, guys, like you said, like Russ and Matt and Dak, they had that trait to say, hey, they were tough as hell. You know, I saw them play through pain and getting hit and coming back up, you know, again. I saw them get out of bad plays. I saw them have to speed it up, you know, when things had to get off course. And so those are some of the traits that they don't necessarily show up on a stat sheet. You're not going to find them in next-gen stats. But you are the intangibles at that position that you have to find. Sometimes a throwaway for a QB is a really good play.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Second down that didn't turn into second and 17, and you got to play another down. And so those are things that you look for, and they're hard to find, and you got to study it and go through it.
All right, the definitive, exclusive sit-down.
Dan Quinn. Completely objective, hard-hitting.
The great hope for the Washington Commanders.
As I said before we got on, shades of Frost Nixon. all of the tough questions being asked.
Well, the follow-up there is I literally asked him, I said, well, you know who's tough and extends plays at quarterback? Sam Howell.
Yeah.
By the way, which he agreed with.
Sure.
By the way.
He'll stick around, right? He'll be the backup.
I think that's what I said. I said, I think, you know, a guy like that has value to the team, which he
just
agreed with.
Just get rid of him.
I mean, he's on a rookie deal. He's on a cheap rookie deal.
Yep.
I will say there's an argument you made. Like, I wonder what the trade market would be for Sam Howell, given how quarterback needy it is. And the only way I do that is if you can re-sign Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
Like assuming you draft Williams, May, Daniels, one of those three guys, and then having, if you had Jacoby Brissett as a veteran backup to whoever that rookie guy was, Howell should be a starting quarterback in the NFL. There are not 32 quarterbacks better than Sam Howell. Yep. That would be my argument.
Yep. I don't think Jacoby Brissett's going to be back. Just kind of gut feel from what I've heard.
Go somewhere where he has a better shot to play?
I think better shot to play. Also, where he can just impact winning more for a team that's ready for the playoffs. Like, you know, this was talked about ad nauseum, but if he was on the Browns or the Jets or teams like that, like, they really could have used him. The Vikings.
Sure.
Made the playoffs with Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
So I just don't think he makes that much sense on the team unless they I guess move on from Howell and trade him and then have Jacoby Brissett as the mentor for whoever your quarterback's going to be, Matthew.
Yeah. I agree, but they may not want to pay. Jacoby Brissett will have a nice market again.
Really, nice.
This past season, whether it was, right to your point, the Jets, the Vikings, like, you know, a number of teams you sort of saw like, oh boy, the Browns got lucky with Flacco. But the truth is that there were so many teams that just desperately needed like a quality backup quarterback and they didn't have it. And so I think somebody will be one of those teams that is Super Bowl ready or, you know, will pay him. Like, why wouldn't the Jets?
I think they're going to.
Right.
Or at least I think they're going to make an effort to try to get
whether
him for
it's
10 million a year.
Or somebody, right,
yes.
Somebody like that.
It's the same thing as last year. Like, philosophically, he just makes no sense on this team unless his veteran leadership adds such a value because, okay, well, he's not going to play. If he does play, you'd rather them not win the games, but he's too good that he's probably going to help them win some games. So there's just no point to him really being there.
I would agree with you. I like Jacoby Brissett, but he makes more sense on another team.
Yep.
The Battle for Manchester is streaming live on Peacock. Man City is on the hunt for their fourth straight Premier League title, and their crosstown rivals would love to play spoiler. Watch Man City versus Man United live Sunday, March 3rd at 10 a.m. Eastern, only on Peacock.
On Man City, Connor, just quickly, as we were stuck at LaGuardia Airport yesterday for an ungodly amount of hours, as I was telling producer Stephen before, apparently we can put men on the moon, but we can't put fog lights on planes. And we just were completely stuck because of the fog in New York. But I had a bet on Luton Town in the FA Cup against Man City. I opened the Flash Score app to check what the score is. And Erling Haaland for Man City had scored 5 goals in less than an hour. And it was 5-2. That was a quick death for that one. So,
did not cash.
Yes, no, that was a...
So there you go, just in case you were wondering, while Jay was delayed in his plane, he was also losing money.
Yes.
So it was a good day to be
losing
Jay.
Losing time, losing money.
It's the American dream.
Yeah,
it's American
exactly.
Dream.
And he's a Giants fan.
Yes.
So things are going well in the Croucher household.
Erling Haaland might be the best quarterback on the Giants next season.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
One thing I will say, though, real quickly about LaGuardia, I feel like there's always delays at LaGuardia.
They're doing something wrong.
I'm going to tell you quickly, the worst flight experience I've ever had in my life is at LaGuardia, and I will be kind and not mention the airline, okay?
Ours was Delta.
Mine also.
Yeah.
I mean, like, LaGuardia is a Delta hub.
Yes.
But so here's what happened. We drive there. I'm going to do this real quickly. We drive there from Connecticut. We get to the parking lot, Terminal C, whatever. The parking lot for Terminal C, completely filled. So like, oh, you have to go to Terminal B parking and take a shuttle. It's only 5 minutes, they say.
City Field, where the Mets play. Well, that's where you go.
But it's 45 minutes. By the time you get over there, park, get a shuttle. The shuttle takes 8 billion stops. It's not 5 minutes. It's 45. Okay, fine. So we get there. But we were there very early. So we get there. We wait. And then now we're waiting in the thing. And they're like, the flight's oversold. The flight's oversold. Well, volunteers, $400, $500. Mm. We're offering up a voucher up to $600. They keep going up. Eventually, no one's taking it. Yeah. Eventually, at $1,200, they needed four volunteers. Gets up to $1,200. So four people finally say, fine, we'll take it. A $1,200 voucher, we'll take it. Okay, so now they're like, okay, great. Now that we've gotten four people off the flight, you guys can get on. So we get on, and the captain goes on, because it took so long, we missed our window to leave. So now we have to go back in line. And, of course, LaGuardia, one of the busiest airports in America. Yeah. So they, so we're waiting there. We're on the tarmac. We're waiting. It's an FAA rule that you can't wait more than 3 hours on the tarmac. So we waited in the plane on the tarmac for 3 hours. Again, we leave an hour late because no one wants to give up their seat on this flight. And we're actually flying to Birmingham, Alabama, because it was for my kid's orientation. So it's my wife and Connor, my 18-year-old. And so the three of us, since we're sitting there, we're on a flight for, and it's a bunch of kids, by the way, going to Alabama. I mean, who's going to Birmingham unless you're...
Right.
And so that's the closest airport to Tuscaloosa, in case anyone's like, hey, I thought Alabama was... So anyway.
It's a whole thing.
So we wait 3 hours on the tarmac. Then they're like, FAA regulations have to come back. We have to deplane. And now we're waiting, and then by the time we deplane, and they're like, well, you know, wait till we get this window, all of a sudden bad weather starts up, and now it's delayed again, and then eventually, like, 3 hours after that, they cancel the flight.
Okay. Oh, well, the dagger.
And so we have to then drive back, and so, by the way, $100 to park, just to wait in the airport all day, 3 hours on that, like...
The 45-minute shuttle.
45-minute shuttle. Well, we have to take a 45-minute shuttle back.
Ours wasn't this bad.
Yeah. Well, three things. One, that story wasn't short at all, despite promising it. Two, I really like LaGuardia, actually. They've modernized it. It's very good. It's in a very good spot.
The airport itself
Terminal
is nice.
Really
the airport
good.
Itself is great.
It's my favorite of the three New York airports. So it's on the way up. Three, let's get to your draft rankings, Connor.
There we go.
Let's go to your big board, which is headlined by the great Maserati Marv.
That's
Marv
right.
Jr.,
who will not be doing anything at the Combine because he's so good he does not have to. He's focusing on playing football. Marvin Harrison Jr., the best player in this draft, followed by Joe Alt, and then Caleb Williams at number three overall. He's going to be the first pick in the draft. Malik Nabers, who I think does not get talked about enough, although that's changing, I mean, Malik is a special player.
I have seen some people say Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah. Have you seen that talk?
I have, and it's a little rich for my blood, but Malik would be the number one wide receiver in almost any other draft class. I mean, really, if you exclude the Ja'Marr Chase draft class, he would always be the number one guy. That's how special he is. Yeah. And when you come from LSU, they churn out NFL wide receivers like no other program, it feels like, besides Ohio State.
Want Malik. I want Malik on Big Blue. He's the guy
pick for them.
Yeah.
The question is, I don't think he makes it there. I really don't. From everything I've been hearing around here, he doesn't make it to six.
You think he goes to the Chargers?
He could go to the Chargers. We'll see if there's a conversation at four with Arizona. We'll see if there's a conversation.
What, am I getting Marvin Harrison Jr. at six? Could he fall?
No. Not six.
Okay.
His absolute biggest fall would be five.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it just depends on whether the Patriots trade down, whether they do a quarterback, or whether they decide.
So you think the top five is going to be Williams, May, Daniels, and then the two receivers?
Yep, and Daniels and May can go in some order,
yep.
And then the two receivers could go in some order. I think Marv will still be the first one, but they could go in some order. But yeah, nine of the first 10 picks, I think, are going to be offense in this draft.
It's great that my Giants have the pick six then. So those are the five guys I want.
Brock Bowers or Rome Odunze. They're both good.
I'll be great. It's going to be, I think the important part for our conversation is that it's going to be a lot of times the first round especially is not particularly fantasy friendly. It's defensive linemen. It's offensive linemen. It's safeties, that kind of stuff. And then there's like a quarterback or two. But as we've seen from C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, what little he played, like rookie quarterbacks can make an impact, obviously, immediately, as can wide receivers. You know, there's not going to be any running backs probably in the first round, but very fantasy friendly and important. Brock Bowers, of course, an elite tight end. So very fantasy friendly first round this year.
Yeah, well, let's take a look at your top 10 fantasy prospects, Connor, headlined by Marvin Harrison Jr. again.
Now, I'm fascinated to see how this changes when these guys actually get landing spots, because if you put Marvin Harrison Jr. with the Patriots and you put Malik Nabers to the Chargers, there's a world where Malik Nabers is a more exciting fantasy player for us this year because of the quarterback situation. But the guys we don't talk about, you know, Brian Thomas Jr., he is a freakish talent in terms of a deep threat and can make plays above the rim. He's going to go in the first round. We're kind of circling this. Who are the Bills and the Chiefs going to draft? Yeah. And if one of them is Brian Thomas Jr. or Troy Franklin, they are going to be the talk of town in fantasy because they both need wide receivers.
I will tell you, just talking with a bunch of people around here at the Combine, one of the nuggets that will be in my rumors column, the Bills are going to move on from Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just feels pretty clear there. Listening to Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean, their general manager, yesterday in their press conference, they kept talking about explosive plays and the importance of explosive plays, and that they've looked at this. And so it does feel like, you know, the best wide receiver on their board that's available to them in the first round seems to make a lot of sense, because they've talked openly about needing a number two opposite Stephon Diggs. They don't think Gabe Davis is that guy.
Yep. I think as well, in terms of landing spots, like, everyone is really hyper-focused on the Chargers being super fantasy-friendly because obviously they have Justin Herbert as their quarterback. I think the Cardinals are an underrated, really fantasy-friendly spot, just because it went under the radar because they won four games of the season. They were kind of irrelevant. But like, when Kyler came back, they were a top-10 offense. And Kyler Murray, who I think has become the most underrated player in football, Kyler Murray 2 years ago was like the MVP favorite halfway through the season. Yeah. The Cardinals were a one seed, and Cliff Kingsbury was coach of the year favorite. And then he's obviously gone now to your team. But I do think that Kyler, in that offense, if he has Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr., like, that all of a sudden could be an absolute wagon.
Especially because, by the way, there's no guarantee that Hollywood Brown comes back.
I think he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, so looking more like, we like Michael Wilson there.
Right.
We like Trey McBride quite a bit, but, you know, do they have a true number one on that team here? You know, the human torch, of course, always a factor. But I will say that...
Or rarely a factor.
Yeah, no, stop it. We love Greg Dortch here. We're big fans of Greg Dortch, the human torch, here at the Happy Hour. I just think it's really interesting. Here's a question for you. So I'm in a dynasty league, and what we do with the dynasty in this particular... I'm in a bunch of them, but in this particular dynasty league, I have the number one pick. On purpose. I tanked this year.
Right.
I'd won two of the last 3 years, but my team got a lot older and had some injuries this year. And so I was just like, you know what? Tanking. So I have the opportunity. It's a super flex league. I have Mahomes and Purdy as my quarterbacks. I'm pretty good at the quarterback spot.
It's good living.
Yeah. And it's tight end premium. You have to do the draft before the NFL draft. So we will do our draft. You have to pick the player before you know their landing spot. So my question is it Marvin Harrison Jr.? Is it Malik Nabers? Is it Brock Bowers in a tight end premium dynasty league?
that's the hang-up that throws everything to it. To me, it's still
Kyle
Marv.
Pitts went number one overall his year that he came out over Trevor Lawrence. To some, you know, controversy, but my point is like it's not a crazy question.
What's your tight end situation too?
I have Kelce. Oh, I would take it back. I have Hockenson. I traded Kelce at the end of the last year.
I'm taking Marv.
I have Hockenson.
Marv can't pass.
Who I have on my board right now.
I think it kind of depends on if you're confident the Patriots are going quarterback
right.
at three, because that's where you really don't want him to end up. Because if right. they take him at three, obviously they're not getting a quarterback in the same spot, and then you might be out, you know, a couple of years of Marvin Harrison not doing a ton on a weak offense.
But he's just so good too. And if he goes to New England, where he's funneled so much number one production, from Mac Jones. But I agree with you, Jay. It's a scary situation, but. Yeah. I think the decision honestly might be even easier than it kind of originally sounded.
I'm just going Marvin Harrison. I'm not overthinking this,
right.
but
yeah. you'll be.
I've heard a lot of people talk about
it's picking
Malik
up.
Neighbors.
It's
you know,
picking
that,
up.
That, hey, Malik Neighbors over. So I was just curious your opinion,
yeah.
but
yeah.
yeah, I'm likely going Marvin Harrison. Heads up, DFB League.
You ready? You ready to tag team this?
Oh yeah, we got a promo code.
I had a feeling I'd have to remind you.
Yeah, thanks.
It's okay. I don't know why Steven
didn't
have
me start.
But anyway,
your home big board is available on rotoworld.com
yes.
and NBCSports.com.
After the combine, it'll expand to a top 100, and I will have all of my thoughts from the NFL combine, the biggest winners as well. Everything's free up on NBCSports.com.
By the way, people love The Traitors, as you see it here. It's a Peacock original, The Traitors. It's back with a new season of strategy, betrayal, and sabotage. This is right up your alley, Jay Croucher. Betrayal, sabotage. This is you. This time, an all-celebrity cast returns to a Scottish castle for the ultimate murder mystery competition. Plus, get this, DraftKings and Peacock have teamed up to bring fans free-to-play pools leading up to The Traitors finale. Go to DraftKings.com/TheTraitors to enter for free today. And you can stream new episodes of The Traitors Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern only on Peacock. People love this show. Remember when I talked about the fact that there were two shows in the top 10 of overall programming?
This is one of them?
This is one of them.
All right. So make sure you do the free-to-play pool courtesy of DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com/TheTraitors for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 877-8-HOPE-NY/TEXT-HOPE-NY 467-369-NY. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See terms at DraftKings.com. They made me read all of that for Jay.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I got the fun one. Did you write that down, Jay? 1-800-GAMBLER. You have to be in New York. That's for New York. But for you, here's the numbers. Just
when we get back
Jay,
to LaGuardia, Jay.
Can,
we have a lot of time
when you get back
there.
To LaGuardia. Yeah. Yeah, just 1-800-GAMBLER. Talk to somebody. Help yourself out.
Thank you, Matthew. No, I just think it was great leadership that you gave the legalese to Connor to read out. Yeah. You didn't want to do it yourself. Dan Quinn would never.
Yes.
How about the cruelest NFL betrayals?
Yeah.
We'll do
Inspired
a little vote
Inspired by our friends at the Traitors.
Brett Favre playing his final two seasons for Minnesota after a long stay in Green Bay. Yeah, nobody remembers the Jets here, sadly. Bill Belichick resigning from New York and becoming head coach in New England. I remember that one. Cleveland relocating to Baltimore in 1995. That one a lot of people still do not forgive to this day. Or Bobby Petrino leaving Atlanta in the middle of the 2007 season.
You know what's interesting that's not listed here is the Baltimore Colts leaving in the middle of the night to go to Indianapolis, in Indianapolis. That was also, because that was like middle of the night and whole thing, like that might be my vote for betrayal. Otherwise, I'd save Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Croucher and Rogers ditching Barry at the Venetian registration desk didn't make it as NFL all-time betrayal.
I'd probably have
that over Petrino. Please.
I pitched it. Producer Steven nixed it, I think. He was just bitter because he wasn't in Vegas, unfortunately.
How do Jets fans feel about Belichick now?
Oh, they hate him.
Yeah.
But they don't. I don't think it's a hate that he left. I think it's a hate.
He won a lot.
Just because he won
kicked
a lot.
His ass.
Yeah,
kicked
yeah, yeah.
Kicked your ass
yeah.
for a long time.
I don't think at the time everyone was like, how did we lose this guy?
Yeah, and I don't
well,
think...
you'll always have 2010 when that's the year that you took him down.
Yeah.
Lose 45-3 and then beat him in the divisional round.
Yep. Yep. Can't take it away from us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Favre was a betrayal. They wanted out of Favre. Like the Packers wanted, they had Aaron Rodgers. They wanted
Right. It's not like he completely tortured them for another 6 years or anything like that in Minnesota.
No,
that
no.
one's he not was, too bad.
Yeah, he was good for 1 year in Minnesota and not good the second year in Minnesota.
No, the second year was really bad.
Yeah, he was bad with the Jets. Then he had a good year that first year in Minnesota. Then he was bad the second year. And
Yep. Still whatever. Can picture him throwing the ball across his body in the NFC title game in New Orleans, which is a game they really should have won the Vikings, and then they may well have won the Super Bowl, but yeah, alas.
Very well. But then now he's, you know, involved in investigations and lawsuits and... Mississippi, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think we'll avoid that. Last call. Let's look at the top.
That's actually,
if
we were going to mention Brett Favre and the Traders, it should have been that.
That would have been very fitting. Right. Steven somewhere is like, please end the show at the combine.
Alleged. I don't think it's been proven. Yeah. Hey, Connor, real quickly for you. DraftKings has come up with some fun combine markets where you can bet on the best times we'll see in the 40-yard dash, three-cone drill, 20-yard shuffle. What jumps out at you here so Jay can trail you because he's not going to get a chance to call 1-800-GAMBLER until he gets back to New York?
Oh, man, I think somebody could run a 4.26, which would make the fastest 40-yard dash cash faster. That'd be -115. That's the one I'd look at. Anthony Gould is somebody. Yeah. He's a returner prospect. He's going to absolutely fly at this event. There's a handful of guys that are timing in the 4.2s in training right now. So I would actually take the faster than 4.265 seconds prop on fastest 40-yard dash. Well, things like the shuttle and the three cone can be a little bit more unpredictable because of the schedule, and the times don't translate the same from their workouts to here, where the 40 can be somewhat reliable.
Based on that, would you take like the on like the three cone? Would you take like a slower then?
Because yeah, I mean, that's why it's
-150.
Yeah,
though.
I mean six. When you're looking at faster than a 6.29, that is flying. Just guys don't do that in the three cone. So that one is set really right. I would not go faster on the three cone. The shuttle I would call pretty even. Somebody could break that 3.895 faster on the shuttle, but the three cone, no, I don't see any value on that. I don't think anybody will break that number. And the 40 is the fun one to watch and bet on.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Jay, you have any thoughts there? Or are you just you're pounding Pacers bets while you're here?
Yeah, I'm just betting on Caris LeVert and the Cavs. No, I'm just disappointed that we didn't actually get to do our own 40. Maybe we do that back in Connecticut.
Yeah.
So I think that would be good content
for pro day season
or terrible content.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah. Wait till if you just want to see
Barry.
You would win. I'm almost positive because I'm like, you know.
We were actually talking about last night at dinner after Connor and I arrived 90 minutes late about what we would all be best at in terms of a combine event. And it was kind of jarring how quickly Connor said bench press in a way that was kind
That's
of a little
upsetting. That's what I'd be best at. Yeah.
Among us, you'd be best at the bench press. That is true. I'm trying to think.
I'm not running fast.
I'm not running fast either. I'm probably not doing the three-cone drill. I'm not a bad thrower, despite what we see on Proper Shot. I know,
that's
the one thing
event.
We can definitively prove you are bad at.
Right. Yeah.
We have the footage.
Matthew Berry will be throwing at the combine.
Matthew Berry will throw at the combine. Yeah, I'm not going
to
wait for
Matthew Berry plans to do everything at the combine, especially stay at high velocity till it closes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, do they do the thing where they jump and they try to get the vert?
Yes,
I could do the vert.
You could do the vert.
I think I would have a higher vert.
You could hit one of the hooks.
I think I could hit one of the hooks. I could do
Matthew Berry is Zach LaVine.
You're tall, so it's that might be tough. I could beat Connor the vert.
But it doesn't matter. Height doesn't matter.
It's about the jump.
They set it for your jump.
Oh, then okay.
Yeah.
Then I got a shot.
Yeah.
Then I got a shot. I think I could.
A lot of good props courtesy of DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And this season, new customers can deposit $5 and get a bonus bet back up to $1,000 if you're first bet doesn't hit. Download the app.
$1,000
and use the promo code Barry. Yes, you have to use the promo code Barry when you sign up.
DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Man, it's great that this place is really clearing out and everybody could hear us do that. It's phenomenal.
Exactly. I'm trying to see who's back there. I saw Kevin Stefanski talking while we were
maybe
while
he'll come over
the show.
Yeah.
Maybe he will.
Maybe he won't.
Probably
won't. Hopefully he's not here with Joe Flacco.
The good news, guys, as we wrap up here, we're now
we
back.
We can tell him how much money you lost.
Yes.
Because Joe Flacco won Comeback Player of the Year.
I actually would like to do
Florio
that.
Florio was jabbing me about that before because he didn't vote Hamlin.
Oh, no.
To be fair, he didn't vote Flacco either. He voted Mayfield, which is
a good vote.
Defensible.
It's a good vote. Mayfield's defensible.
I think Connor Mayfield kind of should have won.
Yes.
Yeah.
Based on the actual coming back and playing great football.
Yeah. Flacco played 5 games and threw 8 picks. Mayfield played well for a whole season. Anyway,
yeah,
I can't keep
playoffs.
Talking about this.
Yes.
DeMar Hamlin only
it'll
beat
never
death.
Die.
Yeah.
He just beat death.
Yeah.
He beat, you know.
Doesn't count for what it used to.
Apparently not.
Yeah. I'm not sure Jesus would have got as big of a run in 2024, apparently.
No.
We don't care.
Would Jesus have lost comeback player of the year after being resurrected? Yeah. That's a good question.
Exactly.
Yeah. It makes you think.
Well, Joe Flacco did throw that pass to Jerome Ford, so maybe he does beat Jesus.
So, full interviews, the full interviews that I did here at the Combine, including with Dan Quinn and all the ones that the guys from PFT did, they're all up on the NFL and NBC YouTube channel, so go check all that out. We got some great information. Connor, I know you're going to talk to a bunch of prospects over the next couple of days.
Eight today, I think quite a few tomorrow and the next 2 days after that. So, yeah, a lot of the receivers, which I'm really excited to bring some of that info to our show next time we record, which will be next week on Thursday.
Next week on Thursday. But some of that stuff will be on the NFL and NBC YouTube channel. All of it will be.
Yeah.
So check all that. Connor's top, what, it's going to be 100?
I'll do 100 next.
Top 100 next.
Slowly grows.
NBCSports.com, so go check that out. My Combine Rumors column will also be out on Monday on rotoworld.com and NBCSports.com. Jay contributes nothing.
Yes, I'll continue
sponsored
betting
by Dollaritas.
On the Cleveland Cavaliers by myself.
Yeah, there you go.
I have to say, before we do get off, so when we were here at the crack of dawn, because we just start the interviews early here, I did open Twitter for a second, and Jay is just NBA tweeting rapidly. Like you think, like sleeping, breakfast, not here. Not here, and he didn't need to be. He didn't have anything to do until this show.
Yep. Sure, sure.
Just firing off NBA takes from the Combine.
Yeah. I feel like I didn't get a good enough reception to comparing Jeff Adams to Andre Iguodala before.
It's
like
sneaky.
Really
it's not really apt. We'll ask Jeff.
It's a glue guy on
a
championship team. Yes. Indispensable. One finals MVP. And that's how Jeff Adams.
That's true. That is. All Jeff is the glue that keeps us together. There's no question about it. Without Jeff, we would all be screwed.
No, indeed.
We would all be screwed. All right. Well, I think that's it.
That's it. We're done.
There you go. All right. Well, listen, it's closing time, which means you don't have to go home.
Go home.
You can't
peace out.
Stay
all the fun.
Here. Jay Croucher, Connor Rogers, Dan Quinn, Joe Ortiz, Doug Peterson, and Andy Reid. I'm Matthew Berry. Peace out.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.